Case number 10,622, Benita Sponsler and Harry Lartz, west of Road 327, west of Dogwood Acres Road, being Lot 4 within Rolling Acres Development, a variance from the side yard and rear yard setback requirements.
Name and address, please.
Benita Sponsler, 31162 Dogwood Acres Road, Dags Row, Delaware.
Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic and Carmine. I represent the applicants, Benita Sponsler and Harry Lartz, who have applied for a 5.5-foot variance from the side yard setback requirement of 10 feet and a 4.4-foot variance from the rear yard setback requirement, also of 10 feet. This property is located in the Rolling Acres development and was acquired by the applicants in July of 2002. There was some documentation submitted as part of the record with regard to conflicting surveys related to this property and the adjoining property, and I wanted to briefly address that before we get into the standards necessary for the variance. My firm did research the chain of title for both this Lot 4 and the adjoining Lot 5 to ascertain whether or not the survey that was submitted to the board was a true and accurate depiction of the property. I do have some documents for the board's consideration that I'd like to submit into the record.
You take them down, please. Thank you.
We're not allowed to have one before Susan.
Those copies include a copy of a 1974 plot for this development. Also includes a survey that was performed at the time that the applicants purchased the property in 2002, an additional survey that was prepared when the garage was proposed, and then a very recent survey that was prepared at the request of the applicants due to an issue with various markers on the property. Based upon my research with regard to the chain of title, the documents that are of record and the chain of title for the adjoining property, there are no surveys of record. The survey that was submitted to the board is consistent with the 1974 plot and all additional surveys that have been prepared for this property. So I do believe that we are requesting the maximum variance necessary for this detached garage, and I just wanted to address that issue first. Building permit was issued for the subject detached garage on August 1st of 2008. The applicants did interview several companies prior to engaging James Poole to construct the detached garage. Ms. Sponsler, I'd like you to provide some testimony to the board at this point in time, if you don't mind. Approximately, what was the cost of these services?
James quoted $30,000 to $35,000.
And part of the services to be rendered by Mr. Poole was to obtain the building permit on your behalf. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Prior to and subsequent to the construction of the detached dwelling, did the contractor ever advise you of the setback requirements for your property?
He came to us one afternoon and said, quote, unquote, "I have good news. We only need a 5-foot setback." And we said, "Why?" And he said it was because there were no permanent structures to the side and to the rear.
Now, were you aware at that point in time that the building permit specifically stated that there was both a 10-foot setback requirement for the rear and side yard?
At that time, no. We didn't learn of anything until after the process.
Okay. So you relied on the representation of your contractor in good faith?
Yes, we trusted him. He has years of experience in Sussex County.
Do you have any knowledge or expertise in construction, or are you familiar with the applicable code?
Not at all.
Did you review the code to make sure that your contractor was working in compliance with it?
No. We put it in his hands. We hired a local contractor with years of experience, and we trusted that he knew what he was doing and that he would do the job appropriately according to the
So you trusted that any and all work to be provided will be done in compliance with all applicable codes?
Yes, as I believe should be when you hire a contractor.
Okay. When did you become aware of the encroachment?
It wasn't until after the garage was almost complete and I called asking about our certificate of compliance because we have a lot of tools in the house we want to get rid of and put in the garage. And it took me a little while, but I finally, Dean Malloy called back and said that he has learned that our garage was too close to our neighbor's fence and that we needed to apply for a variance.
So basically the structure was almost completed by the time you became aware that there was any encroachment?
Yes, structurally it was completed. There were some finishing touches that were never done. Our contractor walked off the job towards the end.
And it became necessary for you to engage a subsequent contractor?
Yes, we hired another local contractor with a lot of carpentry experience, and he did some decking and stairway.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We had to hire somebody else to install the garage doors.
Okay. Have you taken any action against the original contractor with regard to this detached garage?
Yes, we did. We filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office against James Poole for a variety of reasons. He walked off with some of our money that we paid him in advance. He didn't finish the job, and he made this big error causing us to be here right now.
And again, once you've learned of the encroachment, you promptly filed for the variance?
Yes.
So that
yes.
you could attempt to bring your property into compliance?
Yes.
So you could honestly state that, in your opinion, the hardship was not self-created, that it was created by a contractor that you justifiably relied upon?
Correct.
To do the work that you contracted for?
Correct.
In your opinion, is there any possibility that the property can be developed in compliance with the code at this point?
No.
What would that require?
First of all, the garage is basically built, minus some finishing final touches. And to remove part of the side in the back would affect the roof, the truss, the trusses, the windows, the electric, the garage doors.
So it basically...
The cement floor and the cement footing.
So to bring this structure into compliance, it would be necessary to essentially significantly impact the structural integrity of the detached garage.
Yeah, so it would be structurally and financially very difficult and hardship without this variance.
So in your opinion, the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of your property?
Yes.
And the proposed use of the detached garage again?
Proposed uses, autos, tools, lawnmower, boating equipment, and storage on the second floor.
I noticed that there is a second meter.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
James Poole suggested that. And
is there a kitchen?
No, there's no kitchen.
Do
no,
you have any intention
no
of toilets. Ever using this structure as an apartment or an additional dwelling?
No, we're going to use it for storage. We need more storage.
Okay. In your opinion, if this variance is granted, will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood?
No, it won't. It's a very attractive garage. It matches the design of the house. It sits in the back of the property, which is the only place we could have placed it. And the back of the property is at an angle on the northern side of the fence. We need a variance. But on the southern side, we don't. That's how much of an angle it would be.
Speaking of the shape of the property, although the surveys establish the uniqueness and the narrowness of the property, can you describe the property for the board?
It's a narrow lot. The back of it is very irregular. It's at quite an angle. And as I said, from the northern side of the garage is where we need, the northern corner of the garage is where we need the variance. But the southern corner, we need a much less, if any, variance. That's how much of an angle it is. and we would not be able to place the garage parallel to the property line and our house at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you have spoken with many of your neighbors with regard to this application.
Yes.
And you have received a good amount of support.
Yes, I did deliver a petition that quite a few neighbors signed.
Do you know how many approximately?
I'm going to guess 26 to 28.
In support of the
application. In support of, and also two letters that I hand-delivered here about a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in your opinion, this variance will not be detrimental to the public welfare?
No, the garage is in the rear. It's out of the way. It is not close to any public transportation, bus stops, other buildings, intersections.
And as a result of the fact that this garage is basically fully constructed and the cost to bring it into compliance would not only be prohibitive, but it would also significantly alter the structural integrity of the detached garage, do you believe that this is the minimum variance that will afford relief and the least modification of the regulation in issue?
Yes, I do. It would be a tremendous financial burden, timely burden, and a lot of work. And as I said, it's back out of the way, away from pedestrians, traffic, any public.
What type of property adjoins your lot?
Facing our home and the garage, to the left is a neighbor with a small rancher that's towards the front of her property, and in the back of her property is a temporary portable shed. To the rear of the garage is a farm, and there's the wall of the rear wall of the garage, and then some of our land, and then it goes down into a ditch, and then there are a row of trees that belong to the property of the people that own the farm in back of us.
So like a natural buffer?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any further questions for you, Ms. Sponsler. Okay. But I would like to conclude that this property is unique in shape. The applicants did justifiably rely upon a professional to construct the detached garage, believe that it would be done so in accordance with the building permit and applicable codes, and that they were unaware of any encroachment until basically it was too late. As a result, the hardship was not self-created. There's no possibility at this juncture that the property can be developed in compliance with the code. A variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of this property. If the variance is not granted, they will have no detached garage or storage area. Variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, nor will it be detrimental to the public welfare. The structure is aesthetically pleasing. It's in character with the home. I believe that it's an improvement to the property as opposed to a detriment. It will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief and the least modification possible of the regulation in issue. As a result, we respectfully request that the board grant this variance request. And we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Cape?
No, sir.
Mr. Workman?
It was the line. They had the question about the line. Is it farther over?
I'm sorry.
That's the question we had on the survey with the fence.
Well, one of the issues before was that there were two sets of markers.
Two sets of markers.
Could you elaborate on that, Ms. Carmine,
yes,
to how or what difference that makes either way?
If we were to rely upon the survey for Lot 5, mm-hmm, we would need less of a variance. It's about a 5-inch difference. I've done the title work and am of the opinion that the survey for Lot 4 is accurate. It's consistent with the 1974 plot. It's consistent with the 2002 survey, the survey that was done in 2008 for the garage, and then a most recent survey that was done at Ms. Sponsler's request. So in my opinion, those are all the documents of record. They're all consistent. So we're going to rely upon that survey, and that's a survey that was submitted to the board for consideration. And it would represent the maximum variance necessary. Otherwise, we would be seeking 5 inches less.
I did speak with both surveyors, our lot 4 and lot 5, and they both claimed to be correct, and they discussed it with each other, and they stand firm. But that's still a moot point. I still need to request the the greater.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, just one more. Any, Mr. Preston, do you have any questions? Mr. Mills? Okay. Hearing no further questions? Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one, two, three, four, five. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the office did receive 2 letters in favor of and a petition with 28 signatures in favor of the application.
2 letters in favor and a petition with 28 in favor.
Signatures, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? One, two, three. Okay. Those of you that would like to speak in opposition, please come forward at this time. Again, all that would like to speak, please come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening. What's your name?
Bessie Calhoun.
And your address?
32513 Stone Landing Drive, Hinesboro.
Okay. I'll be standing right over here for a second. Who's next?
Donna Lee Grace.
How do you spell that?
G-R-A-C-E. And I live at 31174 Dogwood Acres, directly south of the property in question.
And ma'am?
Denise Callan.
Same address?
No, 32769 Callan Drive.
Okay. Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Joseph, Denise, and I represent Calhoun Farms, which joins the property seeking the variance. We've had a lot of water standing in our field, which is a result of their runoff. As a result of all this water, I've had water in the basement of my rental house. This is a problem because the hot water heater and the heating system are in the basement. As far as the trees on our property, her insurance would not cover any damages to her building. I worked for an insurance company 7 or 8 years. And my husband, Joe, was a director on the Board of Farm Family Insurance for 11 years. And we just know how insurance works. And we would be the one liable if anything happened. Their building is not within the 10-foot setback of our property line. Therefore, I'm against the variance.
Okay. Good evening.
Hi. I'm Denise Calhoun. I am. My husband is the one that tends the farmland. He is opposed to this because it is adding extra water that is running off onto our property land, property that we till. Their rain gutters are pointing towards our field, which means all the water from their property comes out into our field. We already have a water issue. It's just added to our problems. And they knew the size of their lot when they bought it. We've been through this before in here. And we knew the reasons why it wasn't granted before. There was a lot of discrepancies before when we were here. So we are opposed to this being granted this time again.
Hey, ma'am, let me say one thing. This was an entirely new hearing that the board granted. So whatever your objections were at the last hearing, mm-hmm. you need to put them on the record again.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening, board. I'll wait until you all get a copy.
Okay. Sharon.
Members of the board, Mr. Callaway, Hudson, McCabe, Mills, and Workman, we are here today essentially to rehear variance request case number 10466. Based on the facts presented at that hearing, the board unanimously determined that the applications did not meet the standards for granting a variance. Specifically, and I quote, "The board found that the applicants or their agents had created the encroachment. There was nothing unique about the property which would suggest a need for a variance, and the property can be reasonably utilized without the variance. See attachment one." The applicants appealed that decision based on their misunderstanding of gaining 5 inches or less using the more recent survey.
Excuse me.
See attachment 2 and 3. Mr. Morris's survey of 3/25/2010 shows more detail than that of Mr. Kaufman's of 7/18/2002. Mr. Morris's survey shows the offending structure to have a footprint of 26 by 29 feet, a total of 754 square feet, thereby requiring a 10-foot setback. Other than that, their surveys are in agreement. See attachments 4 and 5. In their testimony during the August 2009 hearing, the applicants portrayed themselves as naive homeowners, and they do that again today, relying on the advice of their builder for all decisions regarding the construction of this offending building, whether it pertained to the existing county codes or actual construction. I find this all to be rather disingenuous, considering the fact that anyone with the applicant's background would be well-versed in issues pertaining to all matters of real estate, such as the existence of building codes, restrictive covenants, zoning restrictions, and county offices where information can be ascertained and verified. Mr. Lartz has been a broker multi-licensee, and I presume Ms. Sponsler has been a real estate salesperson in the state of Pennsylvania. See attachment 7 and 8. Although the case number has changed, the facts of the case have not. To rehear this case would be arbitrary and capricious, since the case has been decided unanimously against the granting of a variance, and that ruling should stand. Thank you.
I have one question for the Calhouns. Between the two properties, yours and this, the applicant's, is there a ditch there? Is it a maintained ditch?
It's not a maintained ditch, no, sir.
Not a maintained ditch?
No.
And one question about the trees that were mentioned. Are the trees on your property or the applicant's property?
Our property.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing no other opposition, the chair will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I don't recall hearing any difference in this time than the first time, other than they're requesting more of a variance now. And that the applicant was a real estate broker in Pennsylvania. Still don't see where it meets the standards for granting a variance. I make a motion we deny case number 10,622.
Do I have a second to that motion? Chair will call for a second to the motion by Mr. Mills. Okay, Chair hearing not getting a second to the motion. The case will, case number 10,622 will stay on the table and be brought up at a later date. Item secretary. Getting a second for that to that motion, the case will now stay on the table until at such time I will bring it back up for another vote. It died for lack of support. Okay.